Well, good morning again. Morning. Glad that you are here worshiping with us this morning. Hope you do feel the love of Christ in this place. If you are visiting with us and our guests this morning, we especially hope that you feel welcomed and you feel God's love and God's love through His people. There is a card in the seat pocket in front of you. You've got a blue stripe and on the top says guests, and would love to know that you were here. You could fill that out. You don't have to do that, but would love for you to. And I will be out in the foyer at the end of the service. I have a free gift for our guests and would love to meet you. And I think our youth are passing around the registration slips for all of us to register. It helps us to know not only who's here, but who isn't here, not so that we can, you know, scold them or anything like that, but so that we know who's missing. Maybe perhaps something's going on in their life and we can reach out to them. So turn with me, if you would, to Joshua. Joshua. I can't get into Joshua without, remember that old song, Joshua in the Building of Jericho? Anybody want to come up and sing that? Is that an old? That's old. I mean, Erica, you and I probably remember that. Okay, never mind. I want to set this up in Joshua 4. We're going to start in verse 1, but before I go there, let me kind of set it up. Charlton Heston has already led the people through the... He's already led the people through the Red Sea, and they've spent the 40 years in the desert wandering around because of their unfaithfulness. I don't know. I hope that if I'd have seen God part the Red Sea, I hope I'd have been on His team. I don't know. I mean, isn't that amazing? You can see something like that and still fall away. Maybe that's human nature. I don't know. But so God had parted the Red Sea. They had wandered for 40 years, and they come to, and Moses is not, because of different things that happened in his life, God is not allowing him to go into the promised land. He goes up on a mountain, and he's looking. He lets him see it, but he doesn't let him go in. So Joshua is now the leader of the Israelites, and they come to the Jordan. And it says in chapter 3, if you want to go back and read chapter 3 later, it says they come to the Jordan, and it was at flood stage this time of year. It wasn't a little creek. It wasn't, you know, I was raised over by Cat Claw Creek. We used to catch crawdads down there. It wasn't Cat Claw Creek. It was at flood stage, and they couldn't cross. So God instructed Joshua to tell the people that one priest from each tribe of the nation of Israel, 12 of them, to carry the Ark of the Covenant, which had the Ten Commandments and some other things in it, and it was really the presence of God. They carried the presence of God around with them, the Ark of the Covenant. He says to take these 12 priests, and they get the Ark of the Covenant, and to walk out on this Jordan River, who was at flood stage. And as soon as they did, as soon as they stepped in the river quit flowing. And not only that, it wasn't muddy. It says that they stepped out on dry ground. And they took the Ark of the Covenant out in the river. Did y'all know that God parted two bodies of water, but not just the Red Sea? Now, Moses was dead, but in this case, the Jordan River stopped flowing as soon as their feet touched the water. And it says, the priests stood firm on dry ground, and all Israel passed through. So we pick it up in chapter 4, verse 1. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priest stood, and to carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and he said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites, as the Lord had told Joshua, and they carried them over with them to their camp, where they put them down. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood, and they are there to this day. Let's pray. Father, we ask you to send your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we ask you to speak. Speak the only way you know to speak, and that's in power and authority, with truth, and transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, how many of you have visited Washington, D.C.? There's monuments everywhere, but probably one of my favorites, the Lincoln Memorial is probably my favorite, but one of my favorites is the Washington Monument. Anybody seen the Washington Monument? You can't miss it if you go to Washington, D.C. Go ahead. I think I got a picture of it. Yeah. Read the history of the Washington Monument. It's crazy how that thing came to be, but just a few highlights. It was dedicated in February 21st, 1885, and it's what's interesting, you can't really tell it too much from that picture, but about a third of the way up, the stone color changes. It's a slightly different shade of stone. The reason is they got about a third of the way up, but when they started building it, it ran out of money. And also, I believe the Civil War was going on, and there was they were a little preoccupied. In the 1880s, they began to rebuild it or to complete it, and it was completed in 1885. It is 555 feet tall, and one of the interesting things, there is actually a city building code in Washington, D.C. called the Heights of Buildings Act of 1910, restricts the heights of buildings in Washington, D.C., cannot exceed the height of the Washington Monument. Isn't that cool? That will always, unless they change it, that will be the tallest structure in Washington, D.C. Cheryl and I have been there a couple of times. The first time we went with our girls, and of course they were younger and asking all sorts of questions. But when you see that monument, the first thing is, what's it for? What's it for? Well, today's message is standing stones, standing stones. So I'm just going to dive right into the scripture today, and we're going to, as we unpack this scripture a little bit more, three things really jumped out at me about this story of these stones. And the first things that came to my mind was, standing stones reminds us to recognize God's faithfulness. Recognize God's faithfulness. Joshua said to the tribes, each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of Israelites to serve as a sign among you. As a sign among you. When we see the Washington Monument, what does that remind you of? What are you remembering? George Washington, right? George Washington and what he meant to our country. And so God had the nation of Israel to stand these stones up in recognition of his faithfulness, how he had brought them. The last thing he had done and that this commemorated was the stopping of the flow of the Jordan River so that they could cross on dry land. So it reminds us to recognize God's faithfulness. Moving on. Secondly, standing stones remind us to remember God's faithfulness. Not only recognize it, but it gives us something to remember. In verse 7 and 9, it says, these stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. Joshua set up the 12 stones, and they are there to this day. So it's not just recognizing what God did for you, but it's remembering it. It's like for in the future to remember it. Cheryl and I, back before my knees went south on me, we used to do some backpacking. Y'all have heard me talk about that before. But there is a gathering of rocks that, anybody know what it's called on a backpacking trail? Well, I put the name on there. Okay, yeah, cheat. That's cheating. A cairn. We backpack. I've done it in New Mexico and Colorado. But wherever we go, you usually find these stacks of stones that are called cairns that do a few things. Right now, it's really, for the one that's on the screen there, it's not really serving much of a purpose. But I want you to think about if there was 6 feet of snow and you were out there and you're trying to find your way out of the mountains and all you might see is the top foot of those stones and you can remember, hey, there's the trail right there. There's the trail right there. And Cheryl and I usually would backpack in the summer. So we would get into some snow that hadn't melted, but not a lot of snow. But it would help us to find our way. So when we would see those, it would mark the trail. And so I'm thinking, I'm tying that and I'm reflecting back to what God was doing. Every time that they would see these standing stones, they would remember what God had done for them. There was a remembrance. There was recognizing His faithfulness, remembering His faithfulness. And then the third thing that I want us to look at, standing stones remind us to share God's faithfulness. So it's one thing to recognize what He's done for us. It's another thing to remember what He's done for us. And it's quite another to share what He has done for us. In this passage that we read today, in the future, when your children ask, so you see, God is pointing to the future. I don't want this event to be forgotten. That's what God is saying. I don't want to be forgotten what I've done for you today, not only today, but throughout your journey. When your children ask, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. So God seems, I'm reflecting over to Jesus in His great commission, go and tell. And here He's saying, when your children ask about these stones, tell them the story. And so let's talk for a second about what is a standing stone in our life? How does this relate today? And to me, what I have been meditating on is, number one, it's things God has done for us. It's how He has remained faithful through events in our life. To remember back, it's like I tell people all the time that are struggling, it's like when God brings you, if you trust Him and He brings you through this, you will have something to look back on and go, you know, God brought me through that. He was faithful. And it's a standing stone in our life. And it's like when you look back and go, God did it then, I can trust Him today. I can trust Him today. And I have many things in my own life many events where God has been faithful. And if you've been here long, you've heard all these stories. But basically, one of the things that comes to my mind is when I was going through the transition from the computer world to ministry, and man, there was just so many things that, it's just like the future was unknown. It was just really unknown. And yet Cheryl and I just made up our mind we were going to trust the Lord, and He provided. And I look back today, and I've told you about this list. Cheryl and I pulled it. She found it the other day and pulled it out, that she made a list of, how many do you remember how many it was? 10 or 12, whatever, things that she made a list, very specific things, like, Lord, please do these things. I'm asking You for these things. And she wrote them down. And now, 20 years later, we go back to that list, and every one of them is checked off. Every one of them is checked off. And they were very specific things that it wasn't like, oh, you know, make me happy or something very vague. It's like, no, they were very specific things that she was asking for, and God was faithful. It was a standing stone in our life. And sometimes I will use the term when I'm praying with someone, and I'll say, we're driving a stake in the ground. That's what I'm talking about, is a standing stone. We're driving a stake in the ground. It's like today, this day, right now, we trust that things are going to change. We trust that you're involved, that you're engaged in what's happening here. So it's events. One of the standing stones in our life is the events, the things that God has brought us through and how he has remained faithful. But here I want to also offer to you, I believe that you and I are standing stones. So we are standing stones in people's lives. And we can, on God's behalf, we can be that for other people. So who has been a standing stone in your life? Just reflect on that for a second. With trying to hold it together, I just want to say my mom and dad. Have been standing stones in my life. So, and many of you have been standing stones in my life. I hope that I have been a standing stone in my children's life. And I hope that I will be a standing stone in my grandchildren's life. I hope that I will be a standing stone for many of you. Who has been a standing stone for you? Now, I'm going to twist it, get a little more personal. Who are you being a standing stone for? How is God using you in someone's life to demonstrate his faithfulness? I don't know if you see it in yourself. I see it in so many of you. I see how you love people. We had an opportunity as a community group last week to love on a family. I won't get into the specifics of that, but I will tell you, it almost brought me to tears to just watch people in our community group loving on other people, being a standing stone that they were going through some struggles. What a great and awesome opportunity and privilege. I say this to the staff a lot when we're praying, when we're having meetings and stuff, that what a great blessing to be entrusted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And not just the message and the words of it, but the love of it. To love on his behalf. When people look at us, I want them to see a standing stone. It's like they look at that. God demonstrated his faithfulness through that person to me. So it's one thing to recognize God's faithfulness. It's another thing to remember, and it's quite another to share it. And that's what God is calling us to do, to share it. I want to invite you, if you would, just to bow your heads. Father, we thank you for, first of all, for who you are and your faithfulness to us. We thank you that you are the true standing stone. You have loved us when we were unlovable. You have died for us when we didn't deserve it. And through your resurrection, you live for us so that we might live. Help us, Lord, now to take that, what you have done for us, and to as your ambassadors, as your representatives, help us to do that for others, to draw them, to love on your behalf, to be a standing stone in their life, to be a monument to your goodness. Convict us. Show us. Give us a name. Paint an image for us right now who you would have us love. Who would you have us be very specific to in showing your love to them? And there's different ways we can do that, Lord. We can do it by mowing a yard or making supper for someone. Can do it praying for someone. We can pray, we can do it by forgiving someone. Show us how. Show us how to be your standing stones in a hurting world. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.